Jorge Bermudez, UNIDAID Executive Secretary, thanks for joining us today. Your organization is now 2 years old. How many members do you currently have?
Okay, UNIDAID is an international drug purchase facility that was created exactly 2 years ago, in September 2006, in the United Nations General Assembly in New York. It was initially proposed by five member states that were the funders, were Brazil, Chile, France, Norway, and the UK. And we have grown, because in 2 years, besides the five, now we have 28 member states supporting UNIDAID and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So 28 countries that are trying to implement mechanisms, innovative mechanisms for financing, so they can really support UNIDAID. And an important issue that we see is that we have, in a way, breaking the barrier between North and South, because we have North countries and South countries supporting UNIDAID.
So how do those countries contribute to UNIDAID?
Those countries, or they implement some innovative mechanism of funding, like an ticket tax. That's eight countries now have managed to implement an air ticket tax, and that fund is raised by them, and then they support UNIDAID. Or we have long-term predictable funding. Many countries are expanding their ODAs, like Spain, UK. They have a five-year pledge or a 10-year pledge.
What's an ODA? I'm sorry.
The funds that go to international aid.
Okay.
Outside, some countries are increasing their funds for international aid. Spain has pledged 5 years to UNIDAID. The UK has the Department for International Development, DFID, that has pledged 10 years to UNIDAID. Norway has a kerosene emission tax, and a part of it goes to UNIDAID. France has an air ticket tax, Chile has an air ticket tax, Korea has implemented an air ticket tax, and some countries, as Brazil, have from their regular budgets, every year they renew, and every year they contribute to UNIDAID.
And as you said, this organization has been able to reach out to the North and the South. So can you talk about how some of the countries in the South have implemented these innovative strategies?
Yeah. The countries in the South, you say, in Nigeria, in Africa, has implemented an air ticket tax. Chile has implemented that. Those are the countries that contribute to UNIDAID. We have 28 and the Gates Foundation. But I think it's important for us to realize, after 2 years of achievements of working, that our actions are currently supporting 92 countries worldwide. So we are supporting, with partnership with several organizations, specific niches on HIV/AIDS, TB, and malaria, and our funded actions are implemented in 92 countries. Most of them, of course, because of our constitution, are low-income countries. So we're supporting mostly low-income countries with products for diagnostics and treatment for HIV/AIDS, TB, and malaria.
So how much money do you have right now in your budget for this year?
We have between $350 and $400 million per year. That's mainly collected by the taxes or other innovative mechanisms of funding. And that is more or less equally shared for actions on the three diseases. That's our mandate.
And when you're looking for a program to support, what do you expect that those programs bring to the table?
We don't work alone. We work with implementing countries, as we want to maintain a very lean structure in Geneva. We are hosted by the World Health Organization. And for us, it's a very rich relationship with the WHO, with the World Health Organization. We have a hosting agreement, and as we are an operational unit and not a technical unit, we also rely very strongly on WHO guidelines and expertise. And we implement with partners that have actions in the countries and have field offices, as, for example, we have the Clinton HIV/AIDS Initiative for Pediatric ARVs and Second-Line ARV. We have the WHO Stop TB and the Global Drug Facility for most actions related to tuberculosis. We work with UNICEF in implementing several programs in countries. And we have also rolled back malaria and other new organizations, as FIND, Foundation for Innovative New Diagnosis, that's implementing a scaling up of diagnosis for NDR-TB in several countries in Africa.
Now, there are other funding organizations or mechanisms like the Global Fund, PEPFAR from the United States, other organizations that focus on drug development, like the TB Alliance. So what makes UNITAID different from those groups?
Okay, I think one of the initial thoughts when UNITAID was created was to avoid overlapping and to build on what is the real added value of what each organization has to deliver. We don't overlap. We work together with other partners, but we are acting in specific niches that others were not addressing. Let's take the example of how we are working with the Global Fund. The Global Fund is supporting most of the first-line treatments for HIV/AIDS in the world. And we are not working with first-line treatments. We are working with second-line treatments that are resistant to first-line treatments. And we are developing pediatric treatments for the three diseases. We are also, all our actions address delivery, rapid delivery of products, niches, specific niches, quality of products that we are supporting, also the WHO pre-qualification scheme so that we have quality products. And all our actions are also aiming to impact market dynamics so that we have a stabilized market with low prices, affordable products, and quality products over the world. And those are, of course, are open to all the other organizations that are working with this issue.
And how have you seen your ability to be able to impact prices?
We have worked very strongly in partnership. We have examples, for example, in ARVs, we have price reductions, and we have had better medicines adapted for patient needs. For example, after we came into action together with the Clinton Foundation on pediatric ARVs, we had a new fixed dose combination. Instead of a child taking several bottles of syrup every month, they have now one tablet with three products in one tablet. That's what we call a fixed dose combination. It has been approved by WHO pre-qualification scheme. It has been pre-approved in the USA Food and Drug Administration. And it has brought the treatment down from $200 per child per year to $60 per child per year. That's three times less. That's one example, and we have other examples in other areas. But of course, impacting market dynamics is not only related to price reduction. We have better products in the market. We have more manufacturers in the market. We have local manufacturers in developing countries. We have quality products, and all this lead time shorter. We have discussed in TB, for example, it's a very good model. We have discussed and we are addressing with WHO and the Stop TB partnership and the Global Drug Facility a rotating stockpile of products, first line products, and now we're also in second line products for multi drug resistant TB, so that we can have a fast delivery, avoid stockouts. And we have a reduced cost of all the process because we are having them as we need the product. We don't have to go after who can provide them. We have a rotating stockpile that's maintained by the Global Drug Facility.
Now, you mentioned, drug-resistant TB and this rotating stockpile of treatments. And this is obviously increasingly a concern, this resistant TB. But one of the issues is not just treatment, but it's also diagnosis. Yeah. And you all are working in this arena as well.
Yes. Our mandate is diagnostics and treatments. And in diagnostics of TB, we have just approved a project that is beginning to be implementing with the Stop TB, the Global Drug Facility, with the Global Laboratory Initiative, and with FIND, the Foundation for Innovative New Diagnostics, that will be a rapid test for diagnosing multidrug-resistant TB. And at the same time, we are scaling up also treatments for multidrug-resistant TB. So I must say that we are investing in increasing the diagnosis of those cases that are complicated and also increasing the access to medicines for those cases.
Now, earlier you talked about how one of your goals is stability and predictability in terms of funding. Are you at all concerned that's at risk given the current global economic situation?
Well, everybody, of course, is concerned on what is the current financial instability in the world. But as we have we have funds that are not coming from country budgets, but from innovative mechanisms that are sustainable. We expect to maintain all those levels, and we have had several years commitments from several countries.
And all these projects that you're working on require that you are involved in the health systems in countries and utilize those health systems. To you, what are some of the most important goals to improve health systems as this conference considers that issue?
We do not overlap, we do not directly invest in health systems in the countries. We are, I think this is a multi-stakeholder initiative. We have to strengthen health systems, and we have funds for that from several other organizations that are applying funds directly to the countries. Our role is to ensure that within the health systems, what we are working with, the commodities for diagnosis and treatment, are being attended. So in a way, we can say that we are contributing to strengthening health systems, even though we are not funding directly the countries for strengthening health systems, because other partners are doing that.
But are there some issues that you see as a problem within health systems that could make you more effective in what you do, help you out with what you do?
All the initiatives of strengthening health systems are important for us. And all our programs that are dealt with our partners are made in agreement with the ministers of health of the country. So we have, all the time, we have the health system involved in what we are delivering.
And last question for you. You've been at UNITAID from the beginning. What is one program that you're particularly proud of?
I think not one program. I think the overall goal of UNITAID, that is to really build strong partnerships and work with all the other organizations. And of course, coming to the Union Lung Conference, TB is a very important issue for us, and we are really addressing pediatric TB, multidrug resistant TB, diagnosis for TB. So we are working in areas where other partners are not working. I would not say that one program is very important for us. All the activities that UNITAID works, and thanks to a very good secretariat that we have, a team of 20, a little bit more than 20 persons, that collectively work in UNITAID and make it possible to really have those commitments with the countries.
Jorge Bermudez, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It's my privilege.